Welcome back. Well, Discovery released its annual results today, reporting a 17% rise in normalised profit, while net profit surged 28% and normalised headline earnings came in 16% stronger. The group has invested close to 10 billion rand in new business and new initiatives, and the company's investment in its bank is set to come into play before year end. Company CEO Adrian Gore joins us on the line now for a closer look at the detail behind the numbers. Adrian, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So we've had Discovery complain of endemically high medical inflation in the results for the year to end June, driven by the recent increase in VAT on the one hand, but also as a combination of supply-demand factors come into play. Talk us through the latter and the kind of impact that's having on your business right now.
Well, I think in my presentation this morning, I was trying not to talk of endemic inflation, but rather trying to just explain the factors behind medical inflation and the fact that they are complex and need to be dealt with in a very clear way. The effect in our business is that we have a social mandate to make healthcare affordable, and we know what we have to do. So I was trying my best to explain there's complicated issues in medical inflation. That's not what people often think. They think about inflation of tariffs and those kinds of things. We're facing issues of, you know, cancer incidence rising, new hospital groups, but this is kind of business as usual we have to deal with, and that's what we do. So I'm confident we can.
So while Discovery's medical aid division grew, gross inflows under management, in fact, contributing, 60% of the group's inflows, and normalized profit increased 11%, to what extent is profitability coming under pressure as a result of medical inflation you are facing?
You know, the structure of our medical schemes work is that we don't make profits from the medical scheme per se. So in effect, our profitability is from our ability to grow the scheme, and that in itself means that the scheme is meeting its needs and the needs of its customers. At the end of the day, I think if we fail to do that, the scheme will shrink and our profitability will reduce. So, I mean, it's pretty directly affected, but we're not directly paying for medical inflations per se. But as I said in my presentation this morning, it's our most important battle. Our focus here is to get value for our members. That's all we do. So we have our work cut out for us, and I'm feeling good. The investment we've made in all kinds of technology and all the stuff we're doing in Discovery Health, I think, arms the company well to do what it has to do.
Where on the one side you talk about an aging of your membership base and increasing burden of chronic diseases as well, how much of that pressure is being offset by your vitality model, which looks to reward consumers for good living behavior?
Well, I think the effect of vitality has been pretty fundamental in the context of the Discovery Health medical scheme. The behavior change is dramatic, and that affects disease burdens. The other point is that it gives value for money to people whether they're sick or healthy, and if you get the right kind of mix staying in the scheme. The important point, I think, is, you know, the disease burdens like cancer are escalating not because of aging. The actual risk-adjusted rate of cancer, in other words, like for like, we're seeing high levels of incidence of cancer. And that creates all kinds of pressure in addition to the human suffering. So all of these tools, including vitality, all the managed care interventions, everything we're doing is trying to make sure we can fund all of stuff and give value to our members.
Where that falls in the valid claims category amidst this broader economic environment, have you become a lot more circumspect of the claims that do land on your end?
Well, I think no. I think that there's a fairly consistent approach to assessing all claims. I think that we've got a very well-developed fraud division that looks at those kinds of things. This is a hugely, hugely sophisticated capability. So this is not done in any, it's done very systematically based on the right kind of protocols and ethics. So one year to the next, the systems keep developing.
Of course, the financial performance of Discovery Health overall stands in contrast to some extent to Discovery Life, which contributed only 9% of gross inflows, but 44% of normalized profit, and that beating the health division's 32%. I guess, Adrian, that emphasizing the less linear growth rate of established businesses over time.
Well, I think that, you know, a life business is different to a health business. It's, you know, you you're investing considerable capital, and it's very much a return on capital business. So it is now, by a long shot, the biggest contributor of profit to the group. And it's a very long-tail business. You know, you have clients that pay you over 20, 30, 40 years. It's a very different set of dynamics. But then there's a lot more capital applied in that business, and therefore you need to measure return on capital. So these are different kinds of businesses, each with their own attributes. I think the one thing I tried to show in our presentation this morning was kind of the diversity of earnings between Life Health and all the other companies. I think it's actually developing very, very well.
Along with that, you've had your emerging businesses having all turned profitable over the period. You've launched new businesses over the period as well. But I want to take a look at the what next, and that Discovery Bank. You're now set to pay First Rand Investment Holdings 1.8 billion Rand to exit its Discovery Card joint venture. Is the slight delay in the launch of Discovery Bank about the only hurdle that props up in this endeavor?
No, I don't think it's entirely correct. I mean, it's delayed us slightly. It's taken a lot of work to get to the construct of how we're going to acquire that 25%. And in fact, there were certain requirements that until the shareholding goes down, we can't do certain testing and open the bank up for testing. So there is some delay, but the reality is we've got a lot of work to do on systems and infrastructure, and our hope is to get the bank up before the end of the year. We're committed to doing it.
Okay, more broadly speaking, Adrian, while you continue to make investments like these, where you're looking at growth or lack of growth that we're seeing in South Africa right now in a technical recession, lack of policy uncertainty, in turn, lack of policy implementation. I mean, the NHI implementation is one that will impact your business in particular. How tricky is it becoming aligning business prerogatives with national interest?
I'm not sure there's a conflict, frankly. I mean, I hope I don't sound naive. I always found that if you're building a business on a solid purpose with good values, it's never against the national interest. It's always in the national interest. We try our best this morning to show that we've grown kind of 5,000 direct jobs in Discovery. We're investing, as you point out, early billions into the country. And my sense is that if businesses do that and they're successful, they will grow the economy. I don't see a conflict. And in fact, quite the opposite. I feel very strongly that as business and business leadership, we have to invest in the country.
Let's leave it there. Adrian, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us this evening. Adrian Gore is, of course, CEO of Discovery.